are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, refined entertainment for a sophisticated audience. Who sometimes enjoy a good fart joke?
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
Ooh, that's not true.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you so much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? No, never mind. Happy holidays to you. It's the Thanksgiving thing. Okay then. All right. Let's call it a day. Here you go. Well, boy, you know, the part of the country that I live in, it gets dark at 11 o'clock in the morning. What is that about? Is this the land of the midnight sun or like no sun at all? I don't know. I have no idea. I like it. I like change. I mean, unless it's little change, like when you go to a fast food place like McDonald's and you get like 13 cents change, I just say, no, thank you. Keep the change as if this is going to change the kid's life. This guy, he tipped me 13 cents. He told me to keep the change. God love him. He's going to heaven. Yeah, I don't think so. Anyway, it's Thanksgiving. McDonald's and Burger King are doing their McTurkey sandwich. That's not true. I made that up. Why don't they do that? Why don't they have the McChicken, the McRib, the McFluffy or Flurry, the McFries, the McMuffin? A lot of Mix. But no McTurkey. Why not? What's the problem with that? Why not have a kid have like a Thanksgiving dinner on a bun? What's the problem with that idea? Come on. If fast food places went far enough to introduce salads, the least you can do is introduce some turkey. Come on. It's good for you. Not really. Turkey apparently has tryptophan in it, which is why when you see turkeys walking around, they're half asleep. That's not true either. How come turkeys aren't tired all the time if they're so full of this chemical that makes you tired? It doesn't make sense, does it? You know, it's not the, is it tryptophan? Is that what it is? Whatever, it's not the chemical, and that's not enough to knock out a human being, unless you're a vegetarian, then of course, anything will knock you out. I had a producer back, I'm going to change subjects like 50,000 times, just as a heads up. I had a producer when I was doing radio in the Boston area, with this particular station, and I did their morning show, and my producer was a vegetarian. I can't remember his name, and if I did, I really shouldn't say it anyway, because he could be listening. I have no idea. He had a strange name, so it wasn't Bob or Bill or anything. It was like a strange freaking name, you know, like someone in royalty got drunk and started naming his kids stuff. So this guy, he's behind the, he's in the glass booth, you know, the producer is the guy that, you know, plays the music, rolls in the commercials, gives me cues, that whole thing. He's a vegetarian, but I don't know the difference, a vegan, a vogan, a schmogan, I don't know. This guy didn't eat anything. He only ate liquid stuff. There was no meat involved with anything that this kid ate. I don't even think he ate fish. I don't know. I have no idea what the kid's problem was, but he was extremely skinny. He weighed 6. I think that was his weight, 6. I guess at one point he thought he was getting too much weight and wanted to go back to his original weight, which was 5 pounds, 10 ounces. it was pretty close to it. He looked horrible. He looked sickly, but he thought, he always said, I'm feeling great. I juiced this morning. Okay, I peed this morning. I mean, I don't understand. What's the difference? Don't walk around telling people that you just juiced. I mean, it's like nobody cares. Hello, you know, let me knock you on the forehead with my knuckles and tell you nobody cares. Wake up. Be woke. Be woken up. I have no idea what that means either. Anyway, the kid nothing entered his body through his mouth whatsoever. I don't know what happened in his private life. Probably it was the opposite. But anyway, the kid was yellow. And I don't mean that as a cultural thing. He was as American as apple pie, and I don't know what that means either. But he was yellow. It looked like he had jaundice. Or if you're from Spain or South America, jaundice. Anyway, he looked horrible. He looked like he was constantly about to die, but he said he felt great. I assume he's still alive. I'm not sure. I mean, he looked like he was like permanently hooked up to a feeding tube. He just didn't eat anything. And he looked horrible. And his breath was so bad. I was glad he was behind a glass booth. He was in a, because he stunk. It was like his insides were just starting to decay from all the juice. And nothing else. Anyway, why did I bring that up? I have no idea. Anyway, the tryptophan in the turkey is not what makes you tired. It is the fact that you just ate a big meal in one sitting. That's what makes you tired. That's when you loosen your belt, if you're a guy, and you relax your panties, if you're a girl. I don't know how that works with them. Well, girls are wearing pants now, so I guess they would do the same thing. But I always get bloated if I have a large meal. I mean, it's just, I think you need to know that, but I'm just telling you. That's why you're tired, because you're tired from eating. Eating is a very tiring thing. Your body gets tired. Well, were you up late last night? Were you out partying? No. I had meatloaf. Oh, well, I'd be tired too. Yeah. Thanksgiving meal. I like stuffing. I love the stuffing. I talked about that yesterday. Some people call it dressing. I don't know why you do that. You're just confusing people is all you're doing. Did you get dressed this morning? No, I got stuffed. Okay, whatever. Start using the words properly. I love stuffing. I could put stuffing on anything. I really could. It would be fantastic. Anyway, that's it for me. I have some interesting... My motivation is totally shot, by the way. I have some interesting guests coming up. One of my guests is a tree expert. He's an arborist. Ooh. Arborist. Whoa. He's a tree expert, all right? Okay. And he's going to help us pick out the perfect Christmas tree or Hanukkah bush, whatever. I don't know how to do that. They didn't teach me that in school ever, how to pick out a tree. Never came up. So geometry, algebra didn't ever come up either. Calculus, that never came up. But they taught it, but never came up. Ron, can you help me out? I'm trying to do this calculus. Oh, my God, no one's ever asked me that before. And I don't know. I don't think I can even spell the damn word. The only course that I failed at and had to take again in public school was geometry. I could not get that straight. I knew all the terms, the hypotenuse, right angle, radius, diameter. I get it. But all the formulas to figure it out, I just kept, I'm not going to be a civil engineer. I'm just not. A train engineer, maybe. I'm not going to be a civil. This is not going to come up ever. Algebra? No. That's why they have other people who know that. I shouldn't have. I can call somebody up. Or I can go to Alexa now. See, we didn't have Alexa when I was growing up. But now we do. So anything I don't know, she knows. I'll tell you. It's so embarrassing to have that machine in my house. I've got a robot that knows more than I do, which scares me to some extent. Probably listening to everything that I say, she does. She listens to everything I say because she questions me like, hey, I didn't talk to you. I didn't say your name first, Beetlejuice. I didn't say that. So why? So how can you say something like, I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't talking to you. It's like my wife. I've discovered a new thing. She can wake me up in the morning at the proper time if I ask her to the night before. She'll fart on command, which I really don't understand why she would do something like that, but she's programmed to do it. Give it a shot. It's hilarious. And I just found out that all I have to do is just call her by name. She magically appears, and I say, remind me to pick up spaghetti tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. And like clockwork, she'll at 3 o'clock in the afternoon the next day, she'll say, Ron, get the spaghetti already. She'll say that to me. She doesn't say, here's a reminder, pick up spaghetti. She does it in a very callous kind of demeaning fashion. Hey, you can't remember things yourself. Pick up the damn spaghetti, Ron. Yeah. I have her set on insulting. There's a setting on Alexa where she can demean you. Some people like that. Some people like that. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving to you. Let me tell you something, and this is serious. And I say this only because I'm about as knowledgeable as the Pope is, so that's pretty high up on the charts, apparently. You know, people lose loved ones all the time, sometimes tragically, sometimes, you know, old age, whatever, you know. But the Thanksgiving table is sometimes and very frequently there's an empty chair where there used to be a vibrant person. Usually a family member, sometimes a friend that used to spend the holidays with you. It happens. That's the life cycle. I don't like to talk about it because that's the sucky part of it. But it makes a lot of people really sad and miss their loved ones. The trick is don't have a lot of loved ones. You don't have to worry about it then. Seriously, though. You know, it's not a time for grieving or, you know, I miss this person because of course you do. That doesn't go away. But Thanksgiving isn't for having losses shoved in your face. Thanksgiving is really, I think we focus it in the wrong, I think we focus it to family and friends. Whatever, they're fine. Family, friends come and go, okay? Thanksgiving is for you. It's you giving thanks for the stuff that you appreciate and love. That can be a talent that you have. It can be a family member, a spouse, a child, a dog. It doesn't have to be a living thing. You can sit at the Thanksgiving table all by yourself sometimes if that be the situation. And give thanks for what you do have. Because as much as you think you may have nothing, everybody has something. And that's what you focus on. And then Thanksgiving becomes a joyous holiday. Even if you're spending it alone, which, you know, commercially, they make you feel horrible because you're alone on Thanksgiving, you're alone on Christmas. It's not that. You are you. You are the center of your own universe. And just be thankful for what you have and what you enjoy, and that you're even there enjoying your turkey. And that's my take on it. There's no reason to wallow in sadness. It is a holiday to wallow in thankfulness for what you have. Okay, that's enough. Christmas trees. Oh my God. I don't know how to pick them out. I mean, if they look green, which they all do, I guess I don't. If a tree is spindly or it's missing some of its needles, then I don't buy it. But other than that, I don't know the difference between a spruce and a goose and an evergreen and a no green. I have no idea what these things are. I don't know how high my tree should be. Should there be sap? Should there be no sap? I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Do you cut the bottom of the tree when you get it home, the little piece of the trunk? I don't know. Why would I do that? Let's find out. Let's speak to our guest. Mark Chisholm joins us now. He's a professional arborist and still spokesperson. Thanks for being with us today, Mark.
My pleasure.
Still is like all over my hardware store now. I've heard of it. Now it's everywhere. What's with the popularity of still all of a sudden?
Well, I think, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm a professional arborist, so I like to go to wherever the best value is for my dollar and the best support I can get for my equipment. You're not going to find a better brand for me than Steel, and that's why it's so popular.
Steel, yeah. Okay, Steel, Still, whatever. I know how to spell it. That's all I know. all right. Let's talk Christmas trees. I believe it's that time of year as far as I can see. And, I'm still confused by the Christmas tree thing. And as you're an expert, I'm going to throw some questions at you here. What's the best place to get a Christmas tree? I mean, where does one go?
Well, you know, back home, I'm from New Jersey. I like to go to the small businesses that, you know, so I like supporting small business. I like what they do for my community, so I like to shop there whenever possible. But they also have some charitable lots that I like to also support. And sometimes, to be honest with you, I'll buy a tree from one place, and then I'll see a charitable lot, and I'll just buy another tree, and I'll donate it to a family that maybe doesn't have that ability. But it feels good to give back to something that, you know, the money is going to actually support something like a good charity like that.
Now, what am I looking for in a Christmas tree? I guess, of course, it depends on the size of your room, but how do I know if a tree is healthy and well-shaped?
That's good. That's a very good question. So the first thing, once you pick your size, you got to start thinking about the species, because when you look at them, they're going to have a little different shape, have a little different color, and then have a little different smell even. Mm-hmm. Like there's Douglas firs that if you break the needles, they smell like oranges. It's a good way to identify them. And there's other firs that are, something like a balsam fir, where it's more up in the northeast. You might get one that's a little bit more rigid and it can support ornaments a little better.
I see.
You know, so it's kind of like figuring out what is going to be right for you. But I would stay away from the ones that are really like stiff and prickly, like Norway spruce, for example.
Okay.
They're going to hurt when you try to decorate them, but all the firs are really probably good selections for you.
Okay. Now, how far ahead do I get my tree? Because I'm concerned about, they don't last forever. I mean, you're cutting them down. So like, what's the good time frame involved here where you can display it enough, yet it's not too much?
A lot of times the trees, if they're in good health when they're harvested, they're going to last a good, 6-8 weeks on minimum.
Oh, okay.
It's just a matter of when they're cut, you know. So sometimes people will say, like, should I go to my lot now or wait? And it really depends on if they're going to get more trees in. If there's only one shipment coming in, they're already cut. So when you buy, whether you buy it this week or next week or in 2 weeks, that won't change how fresh it is.
Okay, so there comes a point where, like, if it's after Thanksgiving, you're good no matter what, pretty much.
Yeah, as long as they didn't harvest them, you know, in September 1st or something like that, and then truck them in from far, far away. But where you're at, you're probably getting some pretty fresh balsam firs as a selection and some other trees like that. So I don't think you'll have any problem. But if you want to know if it's fresh or not, there's two things you can do. One is grab the branch and just pull against it, let it slide through your hands. And if you get a lot of needles coming off, maybe choose a different one because that's going to tell you it's starting to fall apart already. And then feel the flexibility of the branch. If it's real brittle, might be telling you it's really dried out already.
And what do I do once I get the tree set up in my house in the stand? How do I keep that thing as fresh as possible?
Yeah, well, first thing I do always, no matter if they do it at the lot or not, is I'll grab my battery chainsaw and I'll make a fresh cut an inch or two in to get rid of any clogged tubes. There's tubes that pull the water in a tree, the vascular tissue. They'll get clogged and dry out. So you make a fresh cut, you put it right in the water, and then make sure it never goes dry, especially in the beginning. The first week or two, it'll pull a lot of water in.
Okay. How much do I cut off there, approximately? Half an inch, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, anything probably an inch or more is plenty. I wouldn't go probably too much less than an inch, just depending on how long it's sat. It could be really dry if it trucked across the country, depending on where people are buying them from.
Okay, now what the hell do I do with this thing after a lot of people drag it out to the woods somewhere and they'll leave it there? I mean, what are you supposed to do with the trees at that point?
Well, I mean, putting it out in the woods isn't bad. It's a fresh tree. It's going to recycle itself. But the easiest thing around most parts of the country are just to put it out by the curb. Municipalities will pick them up and recycle and turn them into mulch and then give the mulch back to the community. And then you could put it in your yards and so on and so on. But some places like where I'm from, like in the Jersey Shore area, they'll collect them. And they'll put them and submerge them in fish ponds and let the fish habitat use that.
Oh, nice.
Or they'll put them on the dunes to help keep erosion down all winter long, and then the trees will break down into mulch on their own and actually support the vegetation on the dunes.
Okay, so recycling is major here, and that's what you can do with a tree. What about the sap thing? I always get problems with the sap. Is that good or bad? I mean, if I'm finding sap, is that a good thing or is something wrong?
Well, no, depending on the species, some trees are going to have a lot of sap, some won't. Like, think about how they make maple syrup. Obviously, maple trees ooze sap all the time. It's not really an indication, per se, that there's something wrong with that tree, but some trees, if there's sap all over the place, they're definitely going to be messy. You're going to go to decorate it, and you're going to be a mess as well. So, it's something to definitely think about.
Okay, well, if you want more information, because I haven't covered everything, it's tipsfortrees.com. It's tipsfortrees.com or Stihl, STIHL. They've got all the tools required for any time of year, actually. And believe me, when you have a good product, things go a lot better than when you don't, like batteries running down and things getting all messed up. So go with the Stihl. Take a look at them. Go to their website. Mark, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. I thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great Christmas.
You too, Mark. Take care. That was interesting. I always enjoy learning things that I don't know. Unless I'm in school, then I don't enjoy it at all. Everything that I've learned in life was outside of school. Have you found that to be true? 12 years of that stuff. 12 years of sitting in a tiny little desk table thing. 12 years of staring out the window and watching every second tick off the clock and watching some person in front of the classroom drone on and on and on about stuff I totally didn't care about. I would say 99.9% of the time I was bored off my ass in public school. And you might say, Ron, that's horrible. Yeah, but it's a fact. 99.9% of the time I was bored. The same percentage as Lysol that kills germs. Yeah. So, and then, you know, when I left school, and then I went to college, but I didn't show up a lot. I just showed up for the classes that I thought would be somewhat interesting to me, and they were because I was you won't believe this. I went to New York University, and I graduated from the Institute of Film and Television within the university. Ron, you got a degree in television and movies?
Yes, I did.
I know. Yeah, and I did really well at it, too. Ron, do you realize that some people are doctors and lawyers and surgeons and saving people's lives and all that stuff? And you went to the Institute of Film and Television?
Yes, I did.
Anyway, just about everything I learned in life, I learned out of school. I'm serious. Through asking questions or observing or going through the incident or actually making some mild mistakes and learning from those. The teachable moments, as Obama often says to me in private when we're showering together. And, you know, I don't really think that's right. But that's where I've learned just about everything, and the lessons were solid and great and wonderful. And as I've said many times on the show, I've done, oh God, well over 5,000 interviews with 5,000 different people over the 3 decades I've been doing this, and I've learned so much from them. Because it was a one-on-one. It wasn't a person standing in front of a classroom of 30 or 60 people. It was a one-on-one. That's where you learn. And that's why I say, college, totally overrated. Totally overrated. Not everybody should go. But in this society, they make you feel like a moron if you didn't go to college. Well, that's stupid, because that doesn't mean anything. Go to technical school. Become an apprentice. Hang out with a plumber, an electrician. You'll make tons of money. You'll have your own business someday, and you'll be floating in it. And if you get tired of working, you hire people to do it for you. Man, I mean, you can be really successful and not have gone to college. As a matter of fact, if you check it out, many of the richest people in the world who own the largest conglomerates and countries and companies, I said countries by mistake, it's companies, same thing really, and boil it down. But these totally incredibly successful, famous people didn't graduate from college. And yet, they're on the top of their game. So let's stop this charade of you can't get a job unless you spend $150,000 on further education in college. Let's stop this crap where kids have to pay their student loans for another 20 years after they graduate. Let's stop this stuff. Let's cut it out. Either make further education free or extremely discounted, or stop putting this psychological onus on the population and society where you're nothing unless you went to college. Because that's absurd. That's stupidly absurd. Or let's lower the cost of state colleges and community colleges that are less expensive, but still way too much. I mean, come on. Support the people. Don't make them pay for it. Education is fine if you want it, but you shouldn't have to pay through the nose to get knowledge. And you really don't have to. It's the stigma that we've placed upon our society. Okay.
Looking for a fun night out? Check out that bar near your house, now featuring live entertainment all weekend. Friday night, it's one guy and a guitar playing 90s cover tunes and original songs about his recent breakup. Catch a dose of classic rock on Saturday nights with that band fronted by that chick you knew in high school who's still pretty hot after a couple drinks. Sunday afternoons, it's 3 old guys and a hipster doing their very best to play jazz. And don't miss the big hot Sunday dance party with your DJ, the bartender's second wife's stepson with those weird things in his ears. It's all happening this weekend at that bar near your house. Not too far to drive, just a little too far to walk. We'll see you there.
All right, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again on, I don't know when. I have no idea. Friday, I believe. But until that time arrives, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, be good to yourselves. I wish you peace.
Yeah.